How often have you used the power of your mind to accomplish things? Up next, Anthony Hamilton joins me. Mind, time, and power. Using the hidden power of your mind. That's what we're going to talk about on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Anthony Hamilton is a former professor. He was out there in North Vancouver, Canada. He's the author of the book, Mind, Time, and Power. Now, that describes the results of his 30 years of research into how our thoughts and feelings shape our lives. His passion is to awaken all of us to their abilities to improve lives by employing cutting-edge yet simple mental tools. I'm looking forward to this because we're going to talk about precognitive dreams, remote viewing, things that we do with the mind. Anthony, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, George.
Looking forward to this. And you're a former professor. How did you like teaching?
I loved it.
You were able to teach kids and younger people, and it's kind of fun watching those minds grow, isn't it?
Well, there's nothing that I like more than seeing that spark of understanding come on in somebody's eyes when they get it.
You know, yeah.
When they understand something that previously they didn't understand. So I found it a real thrill.
Well, and you as an instructor, once you realize they do get it, you got to feel good about what you do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Now, tell me a little bit about Mind, Time, and Power, how this all started for you.
Well, it started way back when I was about 10. I had what you might call a precognitive dream. I guess that's one way to describe it.
Sure.
Basically, I was swinging in a tree. Some friends of mine had built a swing at the top of this large tree that was sticking out of a hill, like it grew out of a hill.
Now, this is in the dream or this is for real?
This is for real.
Okay.
This is when I lived in Nova Scotia. I was 10 years old. And so I fell out of this tree, landed on my back, and sort of knocked myself out. And I had this dream. I had this flash of inspiration What it appeared to me was that I was like in a helicopter looking down at myself at about the age of 32 or 33.
Wow.
And in Buddhism, and I know you were talking about Eastern philosophy, one of the callers talked about Eastern philosophy with your previous guest. And in India, they have this concept of enlightenment as like a flash of lightning on a dark night when all of a sudden you can just see everything, you know? And so that's what this was like. It was like a flash of insight. I saw myself at the age of 33, and I just knew what my life was going to be about. I knew that I was going to be a university professor. I was going to be married to an Oriental woman. I was going to be writing books. As a matter of fact, I thought that my first book was going to be published when I was 30. I was going to be traveling around the world and teaching people how to be happier and live more successful lives. So this was this flash of insight that I had. And so when I came to, I sort of, you know, shook my head and thought, what was this? You know, like right from the very beginning, I mean, right from the very early stages when I had this vision or this dream or this experience, it seemed to me that it was real. Like I didn't think of it as, oh, I had this neat idea, you know, this neat thing. I felt right from the very beginning that this was a true glimpse of my future. So right at that, you know, close to that point, around about the age of 10, 12, something like that, I started doing two lines of research. One was, how is it possible to get information from the future? Because this is what I felt had happened to me, that I had gotten some valid information from the future. And the second line of research was, what does it take to be successful? Because I was supposed to be teaching people about success and happiness.
Right.
So I started, you know, researching what is success, reading all the books, you know, Think and Grow Rich and The Power of the Subconscious Mind and whatever. And it took me until I was about 30, 31, 32 to finally bring it all together when I understood what had happened to me. And as a result of that, I started coaching and teaching people about mental time travel and using your mind as a time machine. And that's what I've been doing virtually ever since, until I started teaching in college and university about 15 years ago.
Anthony, do you think that fall from the tree did anything to you to put you in this altered state?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it was the effect of the fall or what, but all I know is I knocked the wind out of myself.
Oh, but you're lucky it didn't kill you.
Well, that's right. It could have easily happened, but no, it was amazing. So basically, I started looking for how is it possible to get information from the future, because what I'd learned was that you can't know the future. You know the past because you have a memory of it, but you don't know the future because it's just wide open, right? You can't predict the future. So but because I felt so strongly that this was true for me, I started doing some research. So raised as a Christian, as a Catholic, I'd heard stories about people in the Bible that, there were prophets, they were able to predict the future, they were able to read dreams, things like that. So I thought, well, that's great, but I'm not a prophet, so that doesn't apply to me. I remember, reading about Nostradamus and people like that who were psychic, and I thought, well, that's great for them, but I'm not a psychic, so that doesn't work. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that there are people who make a living and who do predict the future. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
weather people, for example, economists. I mean, you turn on the news and it says, here's the 10-day forecast, right? Or, you read the newspaper and it says, house prices are going to go down 15% in the next 6 months. Well, so I started to realize as I got a little older that, there is a lot of information available to us from the future, but none of it really sort of fit what I was looking for. And so even though I had thought that I was going to be successful and a teacher and a writer and this sort of thing, I had assumed that my life was going to be easy, But unfortunately, it was anything but.
Never assume.
Never assume, you know what that means,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
So as I get into my mid-teens and late teens, I just started to really struggle. I had a hard time in school. I was fighting with the teachers, and even though I was intelligent, I had pretty good marks. In the last couple of years of high school, my marks just went down the tube, and I barely squeaked out of high school, which just made me so depressed because, of course, I realized, my destiny is to be this university teacher, and now I've blown my chances of going to university. So I ended up working on construction. I worked as an underground miner, 3,500 feet underground. I worked on pipelines and things like that. And as I get into my early and mid-20s, my life just went down the tube. I was depressed. I was overweight. I was struggling with substance abuse. I was involved in relationships that just didn't work out.
Oh, geez.
And
Everything that went wrong, Anthony, went wrong for you.
everything went wrong. And it was like, how did I get here? I was supposed to be this successful person, right? And so for me, the bottom line was I got fired from a job. I had a pretty good job. I got fired from there. About the same time, my girlfriend told me that we were going to have a child. I don't know how that happened. And
I
so
could
suddenly
guess.
I was like in this place where everything just seemed impossible, And I thought, I need to turn myself around here. I need to turn my life around. So I noticed a sign somewhere, an advertisement, talking about the power of the mind, this weekend workshop and the power of the mind. So I thought, that's for me. So I took this weekend workshop.
Was it a Silva mind control workshop?
It was something like that. It was actually a little more metaphysical
Yeah.
than Silva Mind Control. If you've heard of a book called The Master Key,
Yes.
it was based on that. And so I learned all about the power of thought, the power of the mind, affirmations, visualizations, this kind of thing. And I remember going to this workshop, and I had $750 to my name, which was my last EI check, because I just got fired. And so I had one EI check left, and the workshop was $750. for the weekend. And I thought, I'm going to take this workshop and I'm going to make this work for me, because if I can't get this to work, then my life really isn't worth anything.
Wow.
So I took this workshop, and you were supposed to do a whole series of visualization exercises and meditations. And I said to myself, I don't care what anybody else gets out of this workshop, I'm going to make this work for me, because I need to make it work. You know, Anthony Robbins says, in order to get something done, you either need motivation or desperation. And he said, usually it's desperation. And I was desperate. I needed to get this to work. So I started doing this series of meditation exercises, 20 minutes every day, for 6 months, didn't miss a day. And by the end of 6 months, my life started to shift. You know, I really had some insight, some awareness. I started to meditate. I was visualizing all the time.
You were happier.
I was happier, you know, I felt good. My relationship started to improve. I calmed down a little bit. And for me, the turnaround was, I was doing my meditation exercise. I was living in Vancouver, BC. And you've been to Vancouver.
Yes, love it.
As a matter of fact, you were talking earlier about singing. Well, I've heard you sing in Vancouver.
Oh, you've been at the events.
I've been at the event, and you're great.
Thank you.
And so I was down at the beach doing my daily 20-minute visualization, and what I had realized was that I felt that my past was terrible. I couldn't remember anything positive about my past, and I thought, you know, this just isn't logical. I mean, I must have had some good experiences in my past, but I literally couldn't remember any. So I thought, well, I'm doing this visualization exercise every day anyway, so I'm going to try and remember some past positive experiences. So I remember it took me about 3 or 4 days before I could remember anything. And finally I remembered, hey, baseball. I used to love playing baseball when I was a kid. That was positive. That was fun.
Sure.
And so the next day I went back to that baseball game again in my mind, and I remembered who was I playing with? You know, who were my friends? Who was on first? Who was on second? You know. And I did this every day, and I remember it took about 2 months. And after about 2 months, I had remembered all of my friends' names. I remembered their phone numbers. I remembered their pets. I remembered their parents, what they did for a living. I remembered the cars they drove, some of their phone numbers, you know. And so I started to feel that there was a lot of positive energy in my past that I had totally forgotten about. And one day I remembered that after this baseball game, a gang of us went up to this hill near where I lived, and we were taking turns swinging on this swing, and I fell off the swing and had this vision of my future when I was in my early 30s, and boom, you talk about a flash of lightning on a dark night. It was like a whack on the side of the head, and I realized I just had the same dream, but I had it from the other end. I wasn't 10 years old dreaming of being 30. I was 32 remembering being 10. And I thought, that's it. That's it. For the first time, I realized that's how it's possible to know the future in advance. Because I had always thought that memory was a recording. This is what I learned. It's like, you know, your mind's like a tape recorder. You can remember things. I thought, memory is not a recorder. It's not a recording. Memory is a connection. It's like a phone call, like you and I are now connected on the phone, right?
Yes, sir.
So I thought, if memory is a connection, that explains why the 10-year-old is connected to the 32-year-old. I've got information from the 10-year-old. The 10-year-old's got information from me, because memory is a connection. So that answered my first question, which was, how is it possible to get information from the future?
Is that what you call mental time travel?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. So memory is a connection. And then I thought, well, that also explains how it's possible to be successful. Because remember, I said I was doing all this research on how to be successful, reading all these books and keeping all these notes, you know. And what I realized was, in order to be successful, there's certain things that you need. You know, you need to be persistent. You need to have a vision. You need to have energy. You need to take action. You need to persevere. Jack Canfield says there's 121 success principles.
Chicken soup.
So I thought, But I thought, you know, of all the success principles, what's the most important one? The answer is obvious. You have to have a goal.
That's right.
If you don't have a goal, you can't be successful.
You got to know what you want.
Success by definition is achieving your goals. Where are the goals? They're in the future. Aha! When you think of your goal, when you visualize your goal, you are connecting with that point in the future when you've achieved the goal. That's future memory. And the part of you that travels, the part of you that picks up the information, is your inner awareness that's traveling in time. When you're thinking of the future, your inner awareness is in the future. When you're thinking of the past, your inner awareness is in the past. So that inner part of you, the inner awareness, the focus of your attention when you're thinking, that's mental time travel.
Einstein's name comes up a lot, Anthony, tonight. And, of course, with you, believe that you've developed a new model of quantum consciousness. Tell me about that.
That's right. Yeah, I was listening to your previous guest talking about Einstein. And same thing, you know, because looking for information on time, how is it possible to get information from the future? One of the places I ended up looking was physics, you know, because quantum physics and Einstein, of course, that's all he talks about. Well, not all he talks about, but he talks about time, right? He said there is no time, there is no space, there's space-time. That space-time is a four-dimensional matrix, one of which is time. And he says that there's no distinction between the past or the present or the future except for your point of view, which is what Dr. Lanza was talking about. And so I realized that information travels through space. For example, we have these satellites and things now circling Mars, and we have rovers traveling around the surface of Mars. They're sending us information. And the information that they send us comes through space, the same as my voice is now going through space to you, and your voice is coming through to me. So information, I realized, according to Einstein's four-dimensional space-time matrix, information must travel through time exactly the same way. And I realized that's what memory is, and that's what time travel is that mental time travel is this part of your mind that travels through time. When we're thinking of the past, we call it memory. When we're thinking of the future, what do we call it? We don't have a name for it. You know, people we call it fantasy, precognition, psychic ability, worrying, fearing. We have all kinds of terms for it. But when we have a goal, when we have a definite major purpose, as Napoleon Hill said, then we focus on that future goal, the future purpose, and the more we think about it, the more information we get from that future self, and the goal will actually tell you how to get there.
You are
the
a believer.
Tell you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. Finish it up.
Yeah, so the goal will actually teach you how to achieve it. Now, people say, well, okay, that's great, but how come so few people are successful? Well, the research that I've done indicates that only about 3% of people set goals. They don't have goals.
Well, and what's the definition, Anthony, of success? Because you don't have to be extremely wealthy to be successful. I think success is happiness.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is success.
Yeah, well, the best definition of success that I've heard, you know, the one that I like, is Earl Nightingale. He said, success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. So that's perfect. You know, so you have an ideal, you have a goal, and progressively achieving that goal, that's the success process.
Stay with us, Anthony. We're going to take this quick break, but we're going to come back and talk more about mind, time, and power. I want to get into your thoughts about psychic experiences, remote viewing, and so much more. And then in our final hour of the program tonight, we'll open up the phone lines to give you an opportunity to chat with Anthony Hamilton, author of Mind, Time, and Power, Using the Hidden Power of Your Mind, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, we are back with Anthony Hamilton. His work is called Mind, Time, and Power. Anthony, so many things with this aspect of the mind to talk with you about, but it truly works. Now, you're an expert in the law of attraction, aren't you?
Yes, that's right.
And I've been a believer of it for a long, long time. Here's the question. Why or how does it work?
Well, as you were talking to your previous guest, consciousness creates. So one of the things I've learned is that my mind creates my reality. And a lot of people give lip service to this idea. You know, people think that thought is creative and attitudes are important and what you believe is what you achieve and that sort of thing. I mean, this is from Napoleon Hill, right?
Thinking. That's right.
What you believe and conceive, you can achieve, right? So the law of attraction is there's a three-step process to the law of attraction that I learned. Step one is decide what you want. Well, as I mentioned in the previous segment, 97% of the population can't do that. And only 3% of the population really have a clear, definite idea of what it is that they want. And those 3% are the people that achieve all the happiness and success and money, it seems like, in the world.
And you would think that number would be higher, but it really isn't, is it?
Well, for some reason, you know, we're not taught how to set goals. If you think about it, from the time you're a child until you graduate from high school and get into university, you really don't have to make any decisions about what you're going to do. You know, somebody's there to guide you all the way. When you go to school, the teacher says, okay, read this page and do this exercise, and then we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And we have a test coming up next week, so read this part and do these exercises, and then we'll give you a test on it. So nobody really asks us to decide what it is that we're going to do until we get into our maybe 20s or so, when we're in college or university, or even then sometimes, you know, we can't decide. So, but the people that do have a clear sense of what it is they want, I'm talking about business people that meet with their peers and discuss possibilities and set plans for you know, next year, 5 years, 10 years ahead, these people, they have really clear ideas of what it is they want. And their mind starts to feed them ideas, and they can shape and create more of the future that they want. But the average person who doesn't make any clear decisions about what it is they want, who are run by their sort of fantasies and their wishes, everybody wants to be happy, everybody wants to be successful, everybody wants to have a good relationship, you know. But those aren't goals, they're just fantasies and dreams and wishes. And they aren't powerful enough and clear enough to trigger this aspect of your mind that feeds you ideas about how to get what you want.
So what are you saying, though? We can, and we are the ones who develop this power within ourselves to do what we want, to get what we want?
Yes. Yeah. Now, you have to go through a process, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners and you too, I'm sure, would agree. Pretty well any book you read about how to be successful, you know, how to get what you want. They have a section in there on goals, you know, decide what you want. Write down your goals. Write down your dreams. Decide what's important, you know. Prioritize your goals. And so for me, one of the turning points of my life was after I had this insight that I mentioned to you on the beach where I saw that thinking was a connection, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking is a connection. So any thought you have is a connection to some other reality, right? Past, present, or future, or maybe some parallel present. So I took a course on goal setting from a company called Success Motivation Institute, and they had this incredible and really tedious goal setting process where you have a whole workbook and you write down what your dreams are in six different areas of your life. And then you prioritize those. You know, what's number one? What's number two? What's number three? You balance them all against the other. And going through that process day after day after day after day, what happens is you become very clear about what it is that you want your life to be about. And for me, you know, I'm really kind of blessed having that dream, that vision, because that that experience I had at the age of 10 has really set the direction and the tone of my life, you know. Even though for many years, as I described in my 20s and also later, the dream became more of a burden than a blessing, because I didn't think I was getting there, you know. Nevertheless, it set a real sense of purpose and direction to my life. And thank goodness it did, because most people don't have that, you know. Like I say, think and grow rich. One of the principles is a definite major purpose. Well, if you don't have a definite major purpose and you don't have a clear goal, then in a sense, you know, you're kind of stuck. So it takes a certain amount of work to figure out what it is that's important to you, why it's important, what are the reasons that you want this, and to do the necessary thinking work to decide what is it that I want my life to be about. Once you do that, or at least in the process of doing that, you awaken this inner sense of connection with the future that starts to feed you more and more information, and that's what I believe intuition is, you know, that still small voice, that feeling, that hunch. And I believe that's where your dreams come from, too, at least some of your dreams.
Who do you think, Anthony, though, that little voice is? Is it us within ourselves, or is there an outside entity doing that?
Well, I think it could be both, but certainly it could be your future self. And the more clear you are about the goals you have, the more that little voice talks to you and gives you guidance about how you can get where you want to go, you know. I mean, everybody, now what I'm talking about here, even though it kind of sounds mystical and mysterious and, you know, perhaps a little confusing to people, really what I'm talking about is thinking. And of course, all of us can think, but we aren't trained to think. So you asked earlier about mental time travel. Well, mental time travel is an expression that was coined by a scientist named Endel Tolving in the 80s. Now, Endel Tolving was one of the leading researchers in memory, and he was studying memory. I mean, he wrote all the papers on memory. You know, he was known worldwide for his work in how the brain works and how memory works. And when he was testing subjects with the MRI, you know, these machines that can look inside the brain,
yeah,
he got to recognize what memory looks like in the brain. So he knew what a memory was just by looking at it. He could say, okay, this person is remembering something. And he would do tests with them. He would give them lists of words and things like that, you know, and ask them to recall. And he would test them this way, and he would watch their brains in these machines. And then he would tell them, okay, take a break, you know. And the person would relax. And then he would look at the machine, and he would see that they were remembering something. And so he would say, what were you doing there when we took that break? I asked you this to, you know, relax. And the person would say, oh, I was just thinking about what I'm planning to do this weekend. You know, I got a dinner party coming up, and I was just thinking about that. And he recognized that is what that person's talking about looks like memory. So he coined the term future memory. He said, whatever it is that memory is, it works in the future as well as the past. So the simple term for this process is called daydreaming.
Interesting.
But it's not controlled, focused daydreaming. So anybody can daydream. It happens all the time.
But sometimes people daydream too much.
Well, that's true. But what's the difference between daydreaming and brainstorming? You know, brainstorming is focused daydreaming, right?
Well, I was just going to say, it's more organized, right?
It's organized. It has a purpose, right? We're gonna daydream, or, you know, we're gonna brainstorm around solutions to this problem.
With the collective consciousness, for example.
Exactly. And so it's that. So the difference between having personal power and not having personal power is the difference between daydreaming, which has no power, which is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with daydreaming, but it has no power to it. And focusing on something that you want. And the perfect example, I think, is somebody planning a dinner party. You know, all of us have planned a dinner party for a week or two ahead. And so when we think about what we're going to have for dinner, we decide on the menu, we decide on who's going to come, we decide on the kind of music we're going to play, maybe the games we're going to play, that sort of thing, how much furniture we need. Maybe we need some extra dishes and plates or wine glasses that we might have to borrow from somebody. So while we're fantasizing about that future event, our mind is starting to feed us ideas. Hey, you better call so-and-so and see if you can borrow a couple of chairs, you know, or borrow so-and-so's CD player. You follow me?
Yep.
So your mind is starting to work with you to say, do this, and you'll get what you want. You know, call this person, borrow this thing, you know, order the food from this restaurant, let's say. So as soon as you start to decide what it is you want, your mind will start to work with you. And everybody can plan a dinner party. Everybody can plan a holiday for 2 weeks. But who sits and plans the next 5 years of their life, the next 10 years of their life? Not many people.
Not many people at all. You have talked 3%. About the fact that we have 10 senses, not 6. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Well, we have an inner world, and we have an outer world. So the outer world is the physical universe. We have 5 senses. I can see, hear, touch, taste, smell in the outer world. I have exactly the same thing in the inner world. So I can imagine what a violin sounds like, or what a bird sounds like, you know, what a chicken sounds like in the morning when it wakes me up. That's my inner sense of hearing. I can imagine what my lover's face looks like, or what color her hair is, with my inner sense of seeing. I can imagine what a rose smells like with my inner sense of smell. Likewise, inner sense of taste. And
but that's all in the physical, right?
No, that's non-physical. That's in the physical world, you know. I can imagine, you can do this right now, George. Hold out your hand,
mm-hmm.
and imagine that you've got an ice cube in it. All your listeners can do the same thing.
It's melting.
Imagine that you've got an ice cube in your hand. Right?
It's melting.
What happens is it starts to melt. And you can feel it's cold. It's getting slippery. The water's starting to pool in your hand, and then it starts to run off, you know. Well, that's not happening in the physical world. That's happening in the non-physical world. And so getting back to Einstein again, this is the connection I talked about. The mental connection between your past and your present is the connection between the physical and the non-physical. And it was Einstein that told us that the non-physical affects the physical. So when we have a goal...
Well, let's say that again. The non-physical affects the physical.
The non-physical affects the physical. So if I decide to, make myself a cup of coffee... That's a non-physical thing. That's an idea in my mind, right? So my mind imagines myself making a cup of coffee. I walk into the kitchen, plug in the kettle, boil the water, put the coffee in, make some coffee, right? Now I end up with a physical cup of coffee. So that physical event, that physical thing, the cup of coffee, that started as an idea in my mind. And that's a perfect example of reaching a goal. I decide what I want, I take a series of actions, and I create it.
Well, why doesn't it work, though, for everybody, Anthony? It only works for some.
It works for everybody. It works for everybody, but like I say, you know, most people have not been taught how to focus their attention. That's the key. Focusing your attention on what you want starts the process. And everybody can do this when they wake up in the morning and they realize, oh, I got to go to work today, so my wife told me to pick up a quart of milk on the way home, so I imagine myself on the way home from work today stopping in at the supermarket, picking up a bottle of milk, right? So that's a goal. So that starts to feed the process. When they come home from work, they remember that, ideally, you know. They drive to the supermarket on the way home.
Well, that's what we have post-it notes for, right?
That's right. It's in strings around our finger and stuff like that. So that's what I mean. So suddenly now the fridge has a bottle of milk in it that it didn't before, because that non-physical idea started to communicate with us and said, hey, you better remember to stop into the supermarket on the way home. So again, I'll say, you know, what I'm talking about here is thinking. This is the process that we're so familiar with that we don't notice it.
Why does remote viewing work? Because there's no question in my mind it does work.
Exactly. I've experienced it too. Well, remote viewing, you see, the model that I have for the inner awareness moving through time is a drone. Now, back when I first thought about this, there were no drones, you know. So my model was a telephone. Remember I said that connection with the 10-year-old and the 30-year-old or the 32-year-old was like a cosmic telephone call, right? Well, now we have cell phones and we have drones. So the perfect model, I think, for this process I'm talking about is a drone. You can have a drone flying around, you know, going across the landscape, sending information back to the person who's monitoring the drone, right? And the inner awareness, our subjective awareness, what most people call the imagination, I call it the awareness, it does the same thing. It travels through time. So your wife says, okay, remember to pick up a bottle of milk on the way home. So in your mind, you go, okay, when I leave work today, I'm going to drive highway number 3 and I'm going to take that turn off and I'll stop in at the supermarket and buy some milk. You can see this in your mind with your inner sense of seeing, right? So you have that program in your mind. That's your goal. That's your plan. And when you go to the supermarket and buy the milk, you come home and you're successful. And if your wife's happy, then you're happy too, right? So,
a powerful tool though, isn't it?
It's powerful and it's simple. So I tell people, if you can go to the store and buy a loaf of bread, you can achieve all your goals.
Maybe.
Because if you knew the steps involved in going to the store and buying a loaf of bread, and you just expanded that to everything you want in your life, then you could achieve everything that you want in your life.
What happens collectively if people get together and try this as a unit?
Well, of course, the more people think about the same thing, the more power you have. I mean, any company is basically a collection of people with the same purpose. So the more and more people put their heads together and try and achieve something, the more power they have to achieve it, you know.
And a good CEO cites the direction and a goal for all those people, so they're all on the same wavelength, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's the person with the vision, ideally, that guides the collective brain power, the brainstorming, the goal setting of the members of his staff, you know.
I want to talk with you when we come back about parallel realities, parallel universes, to get your take on what that might be. And in our final hour with Anthony Hamilton, we will take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM.